What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and we're very happy to have you here today. Today is September 5th, 2017, and we're very excited to be talking about concepts of peace today. Of course, this is the Peace Brain Show, but I have a wonderful guest, Andrea K. Smith, with Partnerships in Peace, and we'll get into her in just a moment. But first of all, as you know, I open the show with a quote, and then, of course, stay tuned to the very end because we have a transformative Peace Brain meditation at the end, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy that as well. So the quote I've chosen for today is really interesting. This is from The Group, and The Group is a set of entities that is channeled by Steve Rother of espavo.org. And this was actually a quote that was presented to the United Nations in New York City back in 2002. And it's about embracing responsibility. And so The Group says, "Each one of you is responsible for bringing your own version of heaven to earth. And that brings us very clearly to this precept. This precept is about responsibility. There is much confusion about this. In the turmoil that you have experienced in your game, you have wondered where the lines of where your lines of responsibility are drawn. We tell you, they are very clearly only within yourself. To take responsibility for anyone or anything outside of yourself is clearly a misdirection of energy. How do you increase your personal power? How do you hold more power in physical form? How can you hold more power within a relationship? We tell you the equation is simple. Embrace more responsibility, and you will increase your personal power. Hold the responsibility only for yourself, for your actions, and for what you hold in your heart, your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, and you will change the world. Each and every one of you is responsible only for that piece of yourself which connects to the whole and changes the collective vibration. When you are responsible within yourself, you look in each other's eyes and you plant seeds of light. You go out across the street to the deli and you smile, and without saying a word, you have planted very important seeds. Perhaps in that smile, they have co-recognized the brother that was lost for many lifetimes. If you wish to increase your personal power in a relationship, take more responsibility in that relationship. If you wish to increase your power in the area of abundance, we ask you to find ways of taking more responsibility in that same area. Increase your personal responsibility first by taking responsibility for your own happiness and create your own reality rather than letting it be created for you, as most of you have done." So take a breath. That's a very full quote, again, channeled from The Group by Steve Rother. I was kind of struck from this about taking on more responsibility. You know, when The Group was saying that, I went, well, wait a minute, I've got a lot of responsibility already, and I'm sure you do as well. And yet, at the same time, I understand that if I not only take responsibility for me, for what I'm feeling, for the way I'm acting, and for my own happiness and creating the world I want around me, and that is very possible, and of course that can be a whole radio show into itself, but if I take more responsibility, I can really have more of an influence on whatever I'm doing. I can have more power. So I thought this was very interesting that they are encouraging humanity, each one of us, to really take on more responsibility. Not, as I said, not only for just our personal well-being, but in whatever we're doing, if we want creating abundance or if we're in a relationship, that we actually have responsibility. So be interesting to think of what you think about that and how you guys feel about taking on more responsibility. How does it resonate with you? And I know we don't have a call-in show right now, but you can go to our Peace Explorer Facebook page and type in what you may think about that, taking on more responsibility. So weaving this into peace, because I think peace is a responsibility of each one of us, that in order to create a world of peace, that we need to take responsibility for making it happen. We can't just let anybody choose what the world is going to look like. It is each one of us' responsibility to say, I want to have peace with my neighbor. I want to make my community a place of peace. I want to have my children have peace in their schools. So how can we each take action, if you will, or responsibility, be able to respond to creating what we are looking for, what we are desiring, and what we want to manifest here on the earth? So with that in mind, I have an amazing guest today, and her name is Andrea K. Smith. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she is the epitome of taking action and responsibility for creating peace in her community and actually worldwide. And she has a company called Partnerships in Peace. She's actually the coordinator of that group, and you can find that at partnershipsinpeace.org. And she has a peace center here in Atlanta as well. So let me read you her bio. She's done a lot in her lifetime, and this is just a little bit about it. So Andrea was born in the Midwest, America, after World War II, where her parents encouraged community service through their own example. Along with her three brothers, she was active in the church, mission trips, family improvement projects, and becoming a Girl Scout and Student Council leader. Race riots in Detroit, Michigan in 1967 changed the course of Andrea's life forever. With a young son in tow, she followed a path around the United States through many moves and many states to land sight unseen, knowing no one, in Atlanta, Georgia, in May 1973. With the belief that she could make a difference in the world, she began step by step to work for peace and justice, emerging as a dedicated peace worker in service to humanity. Partnerships in Peace, a planetary consortium, was founded in 1985, and it's a vehicle for Andrea to offer many activities and educational experiences from the local level to the global. Partnerships in Peace did global work during the Cold War in the 1980s, offering peace rallies, cultural exchanges, pen pal letter exchanges, mask making, citywide events, including planting peace poles. And peace poles have May Peace Prevail on Earth on them. And constructing a world wall for peace for the 1996 Summer Olympics that was held in Atlanta. Andrea has networked with over 750 peace groups around the world, as well as joining the 57 peace groups in Atlanta in a peace coalition. It is time to think. The time came to think globally and act locally. In 1997, Andrea received a recycled 1977 Toyota and turned it into a Peace Mobile art car, which is used for the neighborhood projects and won an award from DeKalb County for recycling. She created the Peace Center after a long and arduous process of revitalization with help of hundreds of volunteers from all over the U.S. The grounds of the Peace Center have turned into a gardener's delight as she has coordinated donations and plant rescue since 1999, creating labyrinth trails, meditation areas, and a wildlife sanctuary. Expanding beyond the property are curb gardens. They now exist all over the East Lake neighborhood. Andrea demonstrates that we can live in harmony with the environment by recycling, composting, and creating artistic creations of beauty. Voluntary simplicity and mindfulness are her tools. Her life is a celebration of love, joy, and service. May peace prevail on earth. So, Andrea, welcome to the Peace Brain Show.
Oh, my gosh, Gail, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. So there's so much to talk about. You've done so much, and I know we've collaborated together on a few projects here in Atlanta, but let's talk about, tell us a little bit more about partnerships and peace and what the goal is behind that. And maybe
excellent question.
How you came about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I appreciate that question. I think of partnership and peace in two ways. First of all, I think of the word partnerships. And if anyone out there listening to you today could create a perfect partnership, where would that partnership begin? And it always begins within, with yourself. And so when I created Partnerships in Peace, I saw it as an umbrella to feed and nurture and support all of the activities that I could imagine in the best case scenario that would create that peace that would start within me. And so we started planting the peace poles. We started handing out peace buttons, and I didn't have a car for a while, and so I rode the bus, and I handed those peace buttons out, and they said, "May peace prevail on earth," and people would look at me, and over time, they would ask me for them, and then they would pass them on, and I taught people about passing the peace. And that was very elucidating. I've written so many wonderful stories about total strangers that I met that became lifelong friends. And even meeting you in downtown Decatur that day when we came to a peace rally. I mean, it was so random, but yet we created a partnership. And so that's like the umbrella. And we've recycled vinyl and done those art projects. We've done gardening. There's really no limit to the imagination if someone just wanted to take that first step. And that's what everyone who touches my life is empowered to do. And it's very satisfying because it's not about glory or recognition. It's more about what you said about responsibility, about taking that action. And that is the core of Partnerships in Peace.
Thank you. That is really wonderful. I love the word partnership. You're right. It has this co-creative, this equality vibration about it, and that's so important when we're planting those seeds of peace. And I love that you said it starts within, of course, absolutely. And this is an opportunity, whenever we do something to be of service for others, to obviously find it within ourselves as well. You mentioned something about the art projects and I know you've worked a lot with youth and the curb gardens and your community, your local community right around the Peace Center. That area used to be kind of a shady neighborhood with some drug houses, et cetera. How have you helped your neighbors kind of clean that up, overcome that? Have you changed the community?
Well, it is totally a collaborative effort. So I will preface it by saying it takes a village.
Yes.
And I don't care if you live in Palestine or Iran, or I met a couple the other day from Afghanistan. Something has to happen where there's an agreement that we can find some mutuality. And the reason that we chose art and the reason we chose gardening as opposed to maybe politics and religion is because they're non-invasive. They don't require that we share our opinions of life. Rather, we work collaboratively together doing that gardening project or doing that recycling art project where we cover those trash cans that are just sitting out. And one of the things we learned, which was very enlightening, was that drug dealers and criminals love to see neighborhoods that are neglected, that do not show, where people are so afraid that they just shut themselves in And they don't come out. They don't go walking. They don't take their dogs out. They don't want to. They can't because they're just immobilized by fear. And so when we came into this neighborhood, it's a transitional neighborhood. It was called Little Vietnam. It has quite the reputation because it's near the East Lake Golf Course. And so it needed to be helped. And FCS Urban Ministries offered us the opportunity of having a house, which used to be a drug house and now is not, and turned it into a peace center. And because of that, just very gradually, we had ice cream socials. We walked around the neighborhood and just picked up litter because we knew that all the trash and all of the debris sent the message that we did not care. And so we had to change that thinking. So it was very slow. It's been over 20 years. We had another drug house try to pop up in one of the rentals just last week, but thankfully code enforcement and the police and the residents are all working together, and so it's easier now. And is it going to be permanent? Probably not, because you have to be vigilant. It's like a virus. You have to be aware of your community and what are its limitations. And we're in a completely, what can I say? I mean, they say Atlanta is a melting pot, and it truly is, because we have every religion here. We're just two blocks from a mosque. So we have quite a few Muslims in our neighborhood. We have Baptists. We have Jewish people. We have Protestants. We have every kind of person, old, young, shut-in, seniors, children, and everybody needs to figure out how to work together. And so that is the small micro example of how we have used this opportunity to practice what we preach.
That's wonderful. I love the diversity you just described. So tell us a little bit more about the gardens in particular.
Well, the gardens are an interesting thing because the culture of this neighborhood before we got here was people who did not had never eaten a fresh string bean or had never tasted a cucumber or didn't know how these things grew. And so it's been a wonderful educational opportunity because we have an organic garden called Gaia Gardens at East Lake Commons, which is a co-housing community right down the street from the Peace Center. And we were able to introduce all of the children, just take little trips down there, you know, be very random. For a long time, we had a garden club for the kids at 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and then those children all grew up, and so now we're into another phase of children. But we're doing different things because the gardens aren't the focal point now because now all the gardens are complete. We have curb gardens, and we have this place where the children can learn about fresh string beans and or any vegetable. And my favorite story is that the first mailbox garden that we did across the street for Johnny May's grandchildren, they took their bicycles and ran their bicycles all over the garden and just smashed everything. And after they had done that, you know, we had a little conversation, and they said, well, we thought they would just pop up. And it turned out that all they had ever seen was artificial flowers. And so they didn't understand that this was like a real living organism. And so we just replanted the garden, and then they became like the caretakers, and they weeded, and they made sure nobody else ran their bicycles over the garden. And so it was like a ripple effect where, you know, the children taught the children, taught the adults, taught the children. And it was very satisfying to see how easy it really was. And of course, our basis of education is just teaching the kids to wash their hands and say please and thank you. So we're at a very grassroots level in terms of what our expectations are. So the gardens then exceeded our expectations.
What a beautiful story. And
yeah,
you're right. It ended up, rather than getting angry and mad, is to find out what they actually were thinking and collaborate with them on how it can be, you know, made better. That's a great lesson. Wow.
It is for all of us. And I'm telling you, it never stops. I mean, this is a lifelong lesson for everyone. It's like rather than do the knee-jerk reaction that sometimes we do because we're impatient or we don't understand the whole situation, to sit back, take a breath, and say, okay, now where is this person coming from?
Exactly.
And then make the best attempt. And then I'm not saying that we've solved every single problem. I'm not going to be confronting these drug dealers. I mean, that's not my job. It's to work collaboratively with the police and code enforcement and never give up. Now, see, that's where the truth is.
To be tenacious and determined and know that you are making a difference little by little.
And I can only do my part. Mm-hmm. So my part is back to your suggestion about responsibility. So, yes, I accepted more responsibility, but then I did more delegation. I have more volunteers. I had more enrollment in terms of people wanting to participate. And it was very exciting because we have quite a few shut-ins, and even they got out. When that ice cream social came, boy, they were there.
Ice cream is a great community binder.
It is.
It was free
mm-hmm. because one of the local grocery stores donated everything. And that's the other thing I want your listeners to remember is that sometimes all you have to do is ask. And, okay, so that person said no. Well, then go to another grocery store and ask. And that grocery store said no. Well, go to another one. In other words, eventually, you know, the good news is that someone will eventually say yes.
Yes. that's fantastic.
Exactly. And, of course, I've written so many stories about that, too. I mean, one time we needed carpeting for some of the houses that had been drug houses, and the people who were being offered, you know, to be able to move into them were so poor that they couldn't afford anything. So I just called Shaw Industries up in Dalton, Georgia, and said, we need 4 houses of carpeting, and... I mean, I did have to write a grant, so to speak. I mean, it wasn't just free, but it was donated free. And all they did was deliver it, and then we had to find the people to install it. And it just improved the lives of all of those families so much. And then the busloads of college kids that came. You know, you can't do it alone. And FCS Urban Ministries... every summer sent busloads of kids from Pennsylvania, all over the United States, and all they did was their mission work, as I had done when I was a child, and they helped get rid of all of the tires and the, oh my gosh, just terrible debris that you can't imagine. But we have pictures if anybody wants to see them.
It's true. You've done so much. The whole community has done so much, as you're right. It takes a village.
And then there's a transitional aspect. Mm-hmm. There's a transitional aspect that Atlanta has an interesting mentality. It's not going to be like every city. So that doesn't mean that our solutions are going to be another city's solutions. You just have to find out what works. And the thing about Atlanta is that there's a lot of mobility, you know, people moving in and out. And so we've had to deal with, you know, all the changes in the police force, all the changes in code enforcement, all the changes in residents living in the houses. So you think you have a really strong core of people. Well, they've got 2 more children. They want a bigger house. They move to a different part of town. And so we have a lot of people whose only job is to flip houses. We have quite a few rentals. We have abandoned houses still. And so we have to really be cognizant of, like, doing what's necessary.
So you bring up a really good point that this may not translate directly to another city, that there's obviously tweaks that need to be made for each situation of the community you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Has this been, has Partnerships in Peace erected this type of new vision in other parts of either Atlanta or certainly in other cities as well?
Well, we've planted peace poles. We've let that be our common thing. So we've planted peace poles at Meditation Mount out in Ojai, California. We've planted peace poles at different locations as it relates to where I travel and what I do. And then we network with other people. And what they find is that the format, the basic format of what we're doing, which means you buy a house in a rundown part of your city, and I have friends in Detroit that are doing this, and you go out and you walk and you meet your neighbors. And you don't ask them for their phone number immediately. You do not intimidate them in any way. I'm Andrea K. Smith, and I just bought this house, and I live in this neighborhood, and I'm having a get-together, or we're going to do a gardening project, or would you like to be a part of our litter pickup? I mean, you make it real simple. So that part, I think, would be translatable to other cities. And then from there, depending on what the dynamic is of your problem in your inner city experience, then you would move to enrolling the police, enrolling the code enforcement, enrolling the churches, enrolling the schools. I mean, our outreach is unlimited now. We are working with stores, with businesses, with nonprofits. It's just fabulous because there is so much. I mean, look at what happened to Houston when they had their flood just recently. People came out of the woodwork to help them. And in Atlanta, when Katrina occurred, Atlanta was there for New Orleans. And a lot of the people that left New Orleans stayed in Atlanta. And they have the attitude that they can help, that they can make a difference, that they can contribute. So I just feel like it's a swell of positive energy that's waiting to be manifested, and it just takes certain people like you and me to propagate and to plant and to nurture that seed.
Excellent. And you're correct. It takes that, if you will, community leader to come in and offer some hope that we can just connect as people, as human beings. And make a better life for each other. I mean, that's
and
what it's all about.
And not wait for a catastrophe. I mean, like, we have emergency preparedness here. I mean, we want our residents to feel safe. We want them to feel happy and contribute. I mean, everyone wants to feel needed and in a part of the bigger whole. It's just that sometimes people don't know how.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk a little bit more about Peace Poles. I wanted to go there. First of all, explain what it is, and then I know you have planted, hundreds, it seems like, in your lifetime. So let's talk about what is a Peace Pole.
Well, the Peace Pole idea started in Japan after America dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And one of the survivors, a little kid, grew up with all his burns and all of his, you know, health problems. And he said, I don't want this to happen to any other children in the world ever again. And he got the idea to create something that you could plant in the earth, sort of like the Native American Indians respected planting things in the earth. And he got the idea to plant just a pole. And on the pole would say, may peace prevail on earth in every language that exists on the planet. That's how big his vision was. In the meantime, he was growing up and making connections, and he connected with worldpeace.org in New York. And they said, we will take your project and we will dedicate over 200,000 peace poles around the world, and that's what they've done since 1945. And those 200,000 peace poles say, may peace prevail on earth in whatever language those people want. You can have four languages. You can have eight languages. We have one peace pole in Sandy Springs that Candace Apple planted that has 16 languages on it. And in our neighborhood, we have Cherokee, because the Cherokee Indian was so prevalent in Atlanta, in this region. And then our Japanese friends donated them, so we have Japanese, we have Spanish, and we have English. So those were the four that we chose. Mm-hmm. Within walking distance of our peace center, we have 9 peace poles, and all 9 of those peace poles have different languages. Even one of them has Braille, one of them has sign language, and so these peace poles have been planted in places of peace, in parks, in schools. It's just in the zoo. The Atlanta Zoo has one that we planted. There's no limitation. You could have a little one on your desk. We're going to have a big event for the International Day of Peace on September the 21st down at the Atlanta Public Library, and there will be a peace pole there. And so you can take your peace pole with you. It can be portable, or you can plant it in the ground. And so from that idea then came a massive amount of peace activities that www.worldpeace.org established. They have a flag ceremony of every flag in the world. And there is a peace pole planted in Afghanistan. I know the woman who planted it. So she's in the Army. And so the Peace Pole Project is just, what can I say? It's just a wonderful beginning if someone wanted to do just one something for their community.
Great suggestion and beautiful history. I have seen, and as you and I have worked together on Atlanta Peace Trails, we worked together with Carla Smith, who is the district city council person for District 1 in Atlanta, and we put together this booklet of 39, I think, at the time. This was 10 years ago. I can't believe it.
I know.
Different peace poles and peace gardens and peace statues in Atlanta. And when there were, as you just said, 9 in one area, that became a trail, a peace trail. And if there were 10 in another area of town, that became a separate trail, Trail A, Trail B, Trail C. And so this is when we talk about peace trails around the world, creating these trails of peace. It's really just lining up these different places you can go to actually have a dialogue about peace, to see a peace pole, to sit in a peace garden, to meditate, to have a conversation with your community member about how can we bring peace into the community. These are great places of peace.
Absolutely. Thank you for reaffirming that.
Yeah. And this is the desire that I personally have and that you and I have worked on to create more places of peace, plant more peace poles, not only in Georgia, but all over the world. And I, of course, work with zoos and aquariums, so yes, we got the Zoo Atlanta planted a peace pole out front. And to create these educational packages that also go with it to actually start to have dialogue within the community. How can we make a better community? How can we stop the bullying in schools? You know, and of course, that has nothing to do maybe with animals in the zoo, but in truth, it really does.
And how you treat the animals, that's an education
exactly.
In itself.
Yes, yes. Because back to the peace inside of ourselves, but also, we can't have conservation worldwide and protect endangered species without peace.
I agree.
So I'd love to have people check out your partnershipsinpeace.org and at the AtlantaPeaceTrails.com website, and then, of course, the WorldPeaceTrails.com, which is just in its beginning stages of documenting more than just this Georgia area, and see if we can get you, the listener, involved if you choose to help create a place of peace, plant a peace pole where you are as well.
A wonderful idea. It would be so satisfying that they would call in or email you or however they can connect with you, because we're here to support people in terms of the dedication, the ceremony. We've had so many different programs around the Peace Pole that have really been anchors to bring people together.
So along those lines, I know that Rotary International, particularly in Sandy Springs, Atlanta, which is a suburb of Atlanta, but it's really its own city now outside of Atlanta proper, decided to plant Peace Poles at all the schools. Talk about that for a minute, and then the different programs that the students have been learning around that.
Well, we planted, along with many people from Rotary, all the way up to Cumming, Georgia, and that definitely could be considered a suburb of Atlanta. Through Rotary, they have an international segment of their organization that is dedicated to planting 1,000 peace poles in Georgia. And then, of course, if you get that in Georgia, how will that affect the other rotaries in the other states and the other continents? And Rotary is a very strong organization for community development. And so when they go into the schools, there's actually a whole day that they have a curriculum where they dedicate the Peace Pole, and then the kids get to choose which one of the workshops, which one of the segments of that day that they get to go to. And they are presented with so many inspiring people who come free to the school to tell about what they're doing, whether it's like what you and Nevin do with the zoo, or whether it's in another school, if it's in a business, and then Rotary, of course, is there because they sponsored it. And then they talk about their youth programs, and they just celebrated their 100th anniversary, and coincidentally, the huge group of people from all over the world came to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
And had their 100th anniversary, and oh my gosh, we met, you and I met people again from everywhere that wanted to talk to us about Peace Poles, and it was just, it's almost beyond talking about, because it's so amazing how one group like Rotary can, and putting Peace Poles in schools, can create this new energy, this new vision for children. And that's a hope. We're back to that. You've got to plant the seed so we can have the hope.
Yes. And so this gets into what I love to talk about with planting a new world, if you will, or of peace, and what that might look like. So we've, just to recap for a moment, you have taken, during many years of your work, worked with communities that are on the at the poverty level, that have drug houses, that have community people who are not really in touch with each other, and helped enliven it, if you will, and bring it into a true neighborhood scenario to where people are really collaborating and working together and creating beauty in their gardens, creating art with the youth, and talking about peace and really having that marker with their peace poles, to then citywide and statewide through these organizations that can have peace as an adjunct to what they do. You said Rotary is really about community building, and that really, peace embodies that, as you've obviously manifested in your own life and partnerships in peace, that we can start to, as individuals, look at how we each can contribute to making our community one of more collaboration and neighborliness, where we talk to each other with friendships and assist each other, really get to know each other. I think that's part of it. And then every walk of life, every business, store, church, school, hospital, entertainment center can become a place of peace. They can plant a peace pole. They can at least have an acknowledgement that peace is important, and we can have that hope to create it.
Excellent.
Good job. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good job for you, too. And, of course, we do mindfulness. We do meditation. We do forgiveness. We constantly look at our health and make sure that if we have good health, then we can participate in the community. We become aware of what some of the choices are. You know, we have to stay open and aware.
So what can people do to help out Partnerships in Peace?
Well, they can start at the grassroots level with themselves. I believe that they will create a partnership. And what I would like to say to your listeners right now is, this is your life. You have one life, live it, embrace responsibility, do what you can, be at peace, which means calm, serenity, a centeredness within that no one can disturb. It is your personal property. And finally, whenever I leave somebody, I always say to them, peace be with you. So that's how they can help Partnerships in Peace. They can start to manifest some personal actions that benefit them, and then consequently benefit the whole.
Right. Is there any sort of remarkable wisdom that you've heard from the youth that you've worked with, either in the gardening or the art projects or planting peace poles?
I would say one day we were invited to come to McNair Elementary School, and they had a club called Cool Girls. And it was the Cool Girls were an after-school project that was for this multicultural school that was experiencing some violence, was experiencing a nationally broadcast man who came in with a gun and threatened everybody. And so when I went into this Cool Girls after-school project, we did a circle, what we call the friendship circle, and I learned this in Girl Scouts. And you cross your arms and you hang on to the people to your left and your right. It's the right arm over the left. And then we did a very wonderful gratitude experience that was the part that was remarkable, because these young ladies trusted me, and with instant trust, because we had just done an art project with the vinyl, and they had covered something that was valuable to them. And then my question to the circle was, what are you grateful for? And I was blown away by the simplicity of these children's lives and what they were grateful for, and not going into detail of what they said, but more the essence as we went around the circle. And then we opened our arms, and when we opened our arms, instead of facing in the circle, we faced out of the circle. And then we sent out to the world all of the positive energy, all of the love, all of the caring, all of the awareness that these young people, women, they were future women of the world. They were like the 12 to 13 age group. I don't know if you call them young people or women, but anyway, they were maturing very quickly. And they had such joy. And then after we sent this energy out into the world, we sang a song. And the song was, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And I just started crying. It was so inspirational. It was so beautiful, because these kids had been on lockdown. The police had come. They'd had to try to escape this gunman. And here I was doing an art project with them, and then this circle. And to me, that was just one of the many examples of remarkable in terms of the peace work that I'm doing.
And that others can do as well. So,
correct.
I mean, that circle you just described, I encourage anyone to, when you're working with youth and really doing something meaningful with them, to have a circle like that,
mm-hmm.
to follow
yeah.
that example. Mm. The wisdom from children, it is to remember the basics that we can be grateful for, and of course then whatever personally comes up for each person, the diversity of what we can be grateful for is also the beauty of it.
And never to make it right or wrong. Like even mm-hmm. with this vinyl art project, which is all about, you know, your own creativity, nothing is right or wrong. It's just what you decide. And so they did not feel in any way impeded. They didn't try to repeat what the person in front of them said. They really were in their own individual strength. Mm. They were coming from a place of strength. And that was the part that I found so remarkable, because they're in this neighborhood where drugs and guns and killing are just so common that you become immune. And they weren't immune. They were beautiful little rosebuds getting ready to blossom into the world.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful story.
You're welcome.
So we're getting to the end of our show, close to it, before the
mm-hmm.
Peace Brain Meditation. What last words of wisdom do you have for our listeners, Andrea?
Well, I would just say to people, make it simple. You know, the big advantage for our group of volunteers, and we're all volunteers, including me, is that when we make it simple, it's easier for people to understand how to move forward. So everything we do, we try to uncomplicate it just something simple, like a child will say, well, I don't know how to pull this paper off this adhesive and apply it to this trash can. And we say, well, let us show you a simple way. And then we just take a pair of scissors and cut a corner and show them how to pull it off, even though we had already shown them. But it's like the spaced repetition of doing things over and over, and then you find out what works, and you find out what doesn't work. Oh, my goodness, another book I could write. But I'm very clear now what does work. And so it helps guide me personally, but then it helps guide all of the volunteers, because when the volunteers come, they don't have the slightest idea what they're up against. They come into my neighborhood, and they just are so full of joy and hope, and then they find out that it's not going to be that easy, that there's going to be kids who want to fight. There's going to want to be kids that want to bully. There's going to be kids that don't understand that we're just here to help them, and like there's an ulterior motive or something. I mean, you never understand what's going on in the head of these little kids. And so we constantly make it simple. So rather than doing the macro picture of world peace, we bring it down to the grassroots and say, would you like a string bean? And then we give them an opportunity to see how simple things can be if we help them. So that would be what I would say to your listeners.
Awesome. It's like mentorship programs or just
correct.
Helping people
you nailed
find
it.
Themselves, really. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's definitely it. I love that word.
Mm, awesome. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Gail.
To have you on the Peace Brain Show. And people can find you at partnershipsinpeace.org. That's partnershipsinpeace.org, partnershipsinpeace.org. And then, of course, the project you worked on also was AtlantaPeaceTrails.com. Any other websites you'd like people to check out?
Yes, let's go ahead and put www.worldpeace.org.
Correct.
And tourismforpeace.com.
My website, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Gail.
So let's everyone take a breath and just start to digest that, if you will, in your own being. And I invite you to, as we go into the Peace Brain meditation, just sit quietly in your chair or wherever you are. Take a breath, relax your body, your muscles. Give yourself a grounding cord. That's that energetic connection between your body and the planet. I like to envision a beam of light or maybe a tree trunk coming out of my last vertebrae on my spine and going all the way down through the earth into the iron crystal core of Mother Earth and anchoring into her. And just let all of the day and thoughts and concerns, the energy of it, go down your grounding cord to be recycled into Mother Earth. It's very much like that third prong on the electrical outlet, so that when masses of electrical energy come down the wire, it doesn't burn it out. It gets grounded off in that grounding wire into the earth. Well, you too need a grounding wire or grounding cord for all the energy and the electricity and the emotions that get thrown at us every day. So take a breath and just allow all of that to flow down that grounding cord into the earth, be recycled into new energy. You don't need that energy. It's not yours. And now envision what peace is to you. Feel it in your heart. Even if you don't really know what it is, feel it. Feel peace. And then start to think, what in your life could change if you brought a little peace into it? What would that look like? What would peace look like? Does it mean talking more kindly to your children or your spouse or your family or your neighbor? Does it mean bringing an ice cream over to your neighbor or to someone that you care about? Does it mean having a gathering at your house? Does it mean maybe putting a little note on a coworker's desk? Think of an action that would go with that peace, that would make you feel more peaceful and also benefit someone else. Because when we work on ourselves, we actually do benefit others. Then there's always that act of service, though, that helps both people, both oneself and others. And that's where peace, I think, is found, is in service. It's something we don't necessarily talk about, but everything Andrea has just described really is service. It's the service of the heart. It's going within your heart and finding that peaceful vibration. I was going to say that peace bone in yourself. Feel that peaceful vibration within you. It is there. And start to vibrate it at a higher level, at a more amplified level. Sing your peace music, if you will, and vibrate your peace within you so that when people just see you, it's like the smile at the deli, at the cashier, or when you go to get your coffee at Starbucks, smiling at the person in line with you. Just that plants a seed of peace. That plants a seed of kindness and connection. And that's really what peace is about. It's about connection. It's about acknowledging other people and oneself. Acknowledge that you are worthy. You are amazing. You are divine. And that you have all these powers and gifts of bringing about a more peaceful world, not only within yourself, but within you, your sphere of influence. So take a breath and think about how you might be able to bring a little more peace into the people around you, into your life, by just an action you might take. And maybe it's a hello, or maybe it's an invitation to work together, or maybe it's an invitation to create something together. Maybe it's an invitation to pray together. Just take a breath and know that it's all there. That better community, that vision of a world at peace. And start to see it. How would it look for you? Start to envision it. And almost in your mind, create a vision board. And of course, if you choose, you can do one in actual physical form. Go out and put pictures and words on a board of what you think a world of peace would look like. But start at home. Start in your neighborhood. Start with your school, your church, your business. Start local. And feel the success in that. And the happiness and the joy. And then know that that can spread. That can spread into ways you can't even imagine. So I invite you to consider planting a peace pole. You can go to worldpeace.org and find out about peace poles. And you can make your own if you choose, or purchase one. Think where you might plant it, even if it's a little one on your desk. What a great conversation starter. So take a breath, hold on to that vision and that feeling of peace and accomplishment in your heart of what you've envisioned and can create. And bring yourself back into the room, into the chair, wherever you are, and know that you have a vision now. You have that feeling, and you have perhaps an action step you can take. Good job. Good job. So, thank you so much for tuning in today to the Peace Brain Show. And remember, if you'd like to connect with me, go to tourismforpeace.com or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. If you need help planning a peace poll or want to create a place of peace, please contact me, or you can obviously contact Andrea K. Smith as well at partnershipsinpeace.org and find out more about planting peace poles and how to do it at atlantapeacetrails.com and also worldpeacetrails.com. So now I invite you to go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.